One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I actually want to put a hex on anybody that just like tried one form of birth control and their body was like, yeah, I'm cool with this. Like the people that are like, oh yeah, I got an IUD once and I've never had my period ever again. I want to kill you. I want to commit homicide. What the hell do you mean you just got an IUD and your whole period stopped? And you're like, yeah, I just tried it and it all works out great. Fuck you, bitch. Like,
dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a summer party tonight and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, co-hosted by the sweetest girls in all the land, the current residents of the Mad Mango Foster Home for Sweethearts and Lover Girls. Mangoes roaming around, obviously, as usual, and we've got Ladle and Whisk running around, so maybe they will say what's up in today's episode again. They're still here, and they're still lovely, sweet as ever, wild as ever, and they are up for adoption. So if you're looking for some beautiful, gorgeous kitties to adopt, I foster through Heidi Wrangles Cats. And if you're interested in adopting Ladle and Whisk, you can go to the link in Heidi's bio on Instagram and fill out a form to adopt these girls because they're the sweetest ever and they deserve a loving home. I'm keeping them loved up in the meantime for you. I have had a week. I feel like I'm in the come down of it all now, trying to let my body and brain adjust to all that has gone on in my personal life recently. For starters, not to kick off this episode by talking about all of my period problems, but that's exactly what I'm going to do because why else do you go to sleepovers if not to bitch and moan about having a bad period with all your besties? So, as you guys know, I've had horrible, terrible periods my whole entire life. I've tried like every single form of birth control. For the last few years, like 2 or 3 years, I've been on a version of the birth control pill that my body has had a fantastic reaction to. I have had lighter periods and shorter periods for the first time in my life. My whole life, I have had like 8 to 10 day periods that are heavy as hell the whole way through. The last few years, I have had the absolute privilege of not having to deal with that any longer. But all good things must come to an end. And unfortunately, my era of having easy periods has officially come to a close. And I've had 5 periods in the last 8 weeks. So that's awesome. I'm pretty much getting my period every other week. And it's not fun. It is so deeply not fun, and my doctor wants me to try an IUD again because this is basically my only option at this point. And I'm not excited about that, but I do feel that I have to try it again. The last time I got an IUD was in 2015, and my body rejected it. Obviously, I had a really bad experience with the IUD, so I've been hesitant to try it again after all of that, because I just assume it'll be the same thing. That's what they told me when my body rejected it. They were like, oh, we could try it again, but it's quite possible your body will have the same exact reaction. So I never tried it a second time. But now my doctors are like, well, the technology with IUDs has changed so much since 2015. Also, I was 18 in 2015. So my body has changed so much since then. It's possible that I would have a different reaction. So I don't really have a choice in the matter. So I guess I'm getting an IUD again, which I really am not excited about. And if this doesn't work, then my only option is just to go off birth control entirely. And I don't know, argue with the doctors to get my tubes tied. I don't have another option. I mean, I'm single and I'm not having sex. So there's actually no reason for me to be on birth control if it's not going to help for my period. Literally the only reason why I am on birth control right now is to help manage my periods. So if that's just fucked, and since beginning of July, I've been just in hell. If this is just where we are, then it might be a better choice for me to not be on birth control. But I'm going to give you the IUD another shot. But really, if that doesn't work, I'm out of options. I hate all of it. I think that it is so diabolical what we require women's bodies to be put through. And it actually makes me mad every time I remember that men will never have to understand the pain and suffering that I have gone through because of birth control. Oh my God, it is so frustrating. And it would be so annoying to me if I had a negative reaction to the IUD and I couldn't be on birth control, because I want to be. Oh my God, do you know how much easier it is to not have anxiety about pregnancy and also have less bad periods? It's fucking awesome. Oh my God, if only it would work for me. I actually want to put a hex on anybody that just like tried one form of birth control and their body was like, yeah, I'm cool with this. Like the people that are like, oh yeah, I got an IUD once and I've never had my period ever again. I want to kill you. I want to commit homicide. What the hell do you mean you just got an IUD and your whole period stopped and you're like, yeah, I just tried it and it all works out great. Fuck you, bitch. Like I don't know what world you guys are living in or what your bodies are like, but my body is not like that. My body's trying to kill me, so therefore I'm gonna kill you. Fuck, I hate it here. But enough about me. There is so much to talk about in this submission box. We've got so many good ones, so many juicy ones, so let's catch up. Let's see what updates have been going on in your lives. Hi, Maddie. Sending love from the UK. Sort of an am I the asshole. I live with my best friend and her sister. We all pay rent and split bills. And for the last 2 or 3 weeks, my boyfriend of less than a year has been staying over pretty much every single weeknight. I usually stay at his place all the time, but his car is broken at the minute. So it just makes more sense for him to stay here because of traveling to work, etc. As is fairly common, me and my friends have drifted a little since I met him, and I spend much less time with them. I do want to work on this. However, after months of dating, they still really don't like him because he made a poor first impression when they first met him by commenting on how attractive he found an actress in a TV show they were watching. They were very offended on my behalf and insisted this was super disrespectful, but it just didn't bother me. He has always made me feel secure and desirable, so although I heard them out, I just didn't feel like it was a red flag for me. I value their opinions, but I also think they tend to be harsher judges than me, and we have different standards. Ever since then, I feel like they haven't been able to let go of their negative opinion of him. Every time he sees them, he puts in so much effort into being friendly, but they're just very cold towards him. I know he's an adult man and can fend for himself, but it really hurts me to see this because I love him, and I don't want them to disregard him like this. I've also not told him that they don't like him because I know it will make him so anxious. Anyways, since he's been staying around so often, they've implied that he should contribute towards bills and asked me to let them know when he's going to be here because it makes them uncomfortable. I really don't understand this because he's so kind and considerate to them. I plan on having a sit-down conversation so I can understand where they're coming from, because at the moment I feel quite annoyed and indignant, but I know they must feel similarly. Me and my boyfriend are pretty quiet and tidy and careful not to hog the communal spaces, so I just feel like this is them lashing out for some reason. I wouldn't dream of making them tell me every time they bring a guest over, and I also have no plans to invite him over less. I want to air this out with them as I value their friendship and don't want to jeopardize it for a man, especially since he really likes them. Anyways, I'd just be interested in hearing your opinion and if I sound like the asshole. Lots of love. Here's what I'll say. I actually don't think this is about your boyfriend or about your relationship at all. I think this is about your friendship with your roommates and how that friendship has been neglected as a result of this new relationship. I don't think that you're the asshole. That said, I also don't think that your roommates are the asshole. I think that there are multiple things that can be true at once here, and I think this could be very easily squashed with a conversation. This is how I am perceiving it based on what you wrote, but the fact that you opened up by saying that, you know, your friends and you have drifted a little bit since you met him and you spend much less time with them, admittedly, something you want to work on. I do think that does happen a lot, and that is something that can put a major strain on a friendship. It doesn't feel nice when you're, you know, one of your closest friends enters a relationship and then suddenly your friendship to them doesn't mean as much anymore. They don't put as much time in, especially when you live together. If someone you live with is having a hard time like keeping up your relationship, your friendship, because they've entered a romantic relationship, like, that can really hurt. And I do understand why that might be hurtful to your roommates, for sure. Now, this is me coming to a lot of conclusions on my own, but there's something in my gut that tells me that your friends might not be as nitpicky about your boyfriend and him being around all the time if they felt like their relationship to you was also prioritized. Now, this isn't a healthy way to deal with it, but I think a lot of people, instead of saying out loud, like, hey, I really miss you and it hurts my feelings that you have entered this relationship and totally forgot about our friendship, I think a lot of people don't know how to say that, or they feel uncomfortable saying that. So instead, they take that anger and that harshness and they project it towards your relationship. Whereas if your friendship had not taken a hit, if your boyfriend and you had put in effort to, I don't know, having like more group hangouts, hanging out in the common spaces, including them, so it's not like a hard line where they can't interact with you if he's around and, you know, whatever. If it was more like a, you know, you get to include your friends within your relationship, they get to know each other, and also you get to maintain the depth of your friendship while in a relationship, there's some part of me that believes that if that had happened, they wouldn't be as quick to be nitpicky or critical towards you and your relationship. And obviously, like, bad first impressions happen, but most of the time, bad first impressions can be reversed, can be built upon, can be grown upon. I think it's totally fine for you and your friends to have different perceptions there. I also wouldn't be personally offended if someone I was dating said a celebrity was attractive. That is a celebrity. That wouldn't bother me either, so I get it. But I also understand why to a set of friends, if they heard that, they might have a more like cautious reaction before knowing how you personally felt and before knowing your partner on a deeper level. I understand how like sometimes perception will just like make people have a more cautious reaction to things before you understand the depth of what everyone feels, what you feel, what type of person your boyfriend is, all of these things. Like, multiple things can be true at once here. I have a feeling that your roommates saying they feel uncomfortable that he's around all the time has less to do with him and more to do with the fact that they are frustrated that they don't see you on your own anymore, and that your individual friendships with them have deteriorated as a result of this new relationship being your primary focus. I think that they can do a better job communicating that, but that is my assessment of this. I don't think it has anything to do with your relationship. I think it has everything to do with your friendship. And yes, they can do a better job communicating this dissatisfaction to you. I've had this conversation with multiple friends in the past, and I honestly think that it is a conversation that opens the door to so much more depth in your friendship. I think it's a very vulnerable thing to be like, hey, I love you and I love our friendship and I really miss our friendship and I just feel like I haven't seen you around as much. That's really vulnerable and opens the door for like a really meaningful turning point in your friendship where you both vocalize exactly how much you mean to each other and like how you want to prioritize your relationship to each other. I think it can be a wonderful thing. That said, I deeply understand the frustration of being the friend that gets left behind when someone enters a relationship. That can feel really sad and really isolating. It can feel like, oh, geez, like you were so important to me. You were such a priority and such a pillar in my life. And now this guy comes along that you've known for 3 months and somehow he has taken over the importance of me, who's known you for so much longer. And like, obviously I am someone that believes that friendships are so important, that romantic relationships are not the end all be all, that all kinds of relationships are important and should be treated in fairness. Do I also understand that sometimes that happens and that's life? Absolutely. This is something that can be talked through. But I would jump to assume that that's why your friends are saying things like that. And it has probably less to do with your boyfriend and the actual relationship, if he actually has been, you know, polite, albeit not so involved with them. So no, you don't sound like the asshole to me. I think you sound very human, and this is a very human thing that happens. I also think your friends sound very human. I don't think either party is the asshole here. I think that more vulnerable communication is probably required, and that's about it. Friends without benefits. I'm falling for a friend who is wrong for me. Hi, Maddie. I love your work, and I'm hoping you can share some wisdom with me. I'm in a conundrum lately. I'm starting to develop a big old crush on a friend of mine. Unfortunately, some of his personality traits are massive turnoffs. We have differing politics, views on modern feminism, and generally different ways of moving through life. That being said, I really value him as a friend of over 3 years, and we've had some truly meaningful and lovely conversations in the past few months, as we've connected more, some verging on flirty. At times, it feels like we're even bonding over the loneliness we both feel as college students not in relationships. It's messy because while I know I don't want to date him because of our differing perspectives, to put it kindly, I can't help but want him. Over and over, he proves unknowingly that he is not right for me in the long-term sense, but I find myself unable to shake this crush. It's insane. Friends with benefits is not my thing, but I find myself wishing that it was. Am I being too picky? Do I just give in and go for it? What would you do if you found yourself drawn to someone you care for but couldn't see yourself with? So this is a real head scratcher to me. Because I, listen, I know what you're not saying here. You say, well, we have differing politics. We have generally different ways of moving through life. And then you slip in that you have opposing views on modern feminism. Which to me is like, what the fuck? So why would you even want to be friends with a man that had opposing views on modern feminism to you? In the year 2024, why do we even want to be friends with sexist men, let alone romantically or sexually involved with them? I don't get it. Pfft. Yeah, I don't get it at all. I just think that like sexist men need to die off. I think evolution needs to take care of them. I'm actually so sick of them, and I need all women to stay away from sexist men because they are beneath you. Every one of them is beneath you. And I just don't believe any of them should have access to the possibility of sexual reproduction or happiness. Yeah, I just don't have time for that, personally. I don't have time for grown men that want to have think piece discussions with me on feminism in 2024 as a grown adult. Not happening. You're either with it, you're either lucid, or you're not. And if you're not, I don't need to know you, babe. And there's no world where I would respect any of their other opinions, to be totally honest with you. I just think that if you're like that, I don't need to know you or any other stupid thought that's in your brain. Sexist men, be gone. Differing politics? Differing politics on what? Like, let's say the quiet part out loud. What is it? I talked about this a few episodes ago where it was like somebody asked about dating someone with opposing political views. And what I said was that I could never do that. I can be friends with, I can date someone that has the same core beliefs as me, but we have different ideas of what the path forward is. The core beliefs are what matter. I cannot be friends with someone, date someone, be around someone intimately that has different core beliefs and values than I do. I just can't. I just feel like at the end of the day, you are who you hang out with. Who you choose to surround yourself with is a reflection of you. So this is maybe not the answer you were looking for, because I think you wanted to know if you guys should hook up or not, which obviously my answer is no. But my answer is also maybe reconsider why you think this person is a good choice for a friend. I don't know. The idea of being friends with a man with opposing views on modern feminism to me just seems like the worst thing that could have ever happened. That seems so miserable. That seems awful. And I promise he's not that cool, and you're probably just horny. So go masturbate and then get back to me on if you still want to be with him. Hi, Maddie. My boyfriend and I have been together for a bit over a year now, and I couldn't be happier with how it's going. I would like to get better at showing my love to him through little gifts and gestures, but this doesn't really come naturally to me. I'm better at expressing it through words or practical things. What are some gestures or small gifts that you would like to give a partner or receive from a partner? Lots of love from Switzerland. Okay, I literally love this question. Giving gifts is a strength of mine. I feel that I got very good at doing this by witnessing my mother do this, whose love language is absolutely gift giving. And I think a lot of being good at gift giving is just being a good listener, listening to your partner when they talk about the things that are exciting to them, listen to them when they're talking about like frustrations in their day, and like problems that come up for them in their life. Cause I think a lot of gifts can be very practical things, things that solve a problem for them that they've been having. So I think a lot of being good at gift giving is just being a good listener and being a good problem solver. but I think that there are so many little simple things that make for great gifts. I don't think that a great gift has to cost a lot of money. I think more than anything, it's the thought that makes people feel loved up. And so I think anything that you can do, adding a little bit of extra thought into it, I think makes it that much more special. Now, this is going the extra mile. I appreciate when other people go the extra mile. I prefer to go the extra mile because it just feels fun to do that for me. So like, for example, obviously buying someone a little bouquet of flowers on the way home is very sweet, very romantic. If you want to level it up a little bit, arrange your own bouquet of flowers. Go to the flower shop, get like 3 to 5 different types of flowers, 3 major ones, 2 like filler flowers, build your own bouquet, wrap it up with a little bow, attach a little note. That to me adds a little extra level of sentimentality that I think elevates it beyond like, oh, I just picked up this thing at the store and thought nothing of it past that. I think the little extra effort of trying to make it personal, doing it as like a little arts and craft project that you get to present to them, I think is just like extra sweet. Obviously getting someone flowers at all is sweet, but I think the extra thought just takes it the next step there. Another thing that is very precious to me is when people think of mango also, which is like if someone brings mango a gift, it doesn't like improve my life in any way. It's not like Mango getting another catnip toy is like really quintessential. I get her so many toys. She has everything that she could ever want and more, you know? But there's something about like if somebody, you know, they picked up a dessert for us to share because they heard that I really love cheesecake. And they found this new cheesecake and they brought me home a slice because they wanted us to try it together. And they also brought home Mango, a little treat too. that really warms my heart and like touches me. I think it makes me feel loved to see someone engage and care about the thing that I care most about in the entire world. I think to have a partner know and understand how important mango is to me, and then like, I don't know, just do a little gesture to think of her, even if it's not necessary, even if I have a bag full of treats in the cabinet right now, coming and bringing her another bag of treats, I find that charming, and I love it. So obviously this is different from person to person, but knowing what's important to them, knowing you know, what they love, what they think about, what their problems are, and working out ways to solve that, or just thinking and caring about the things that they care about when deciding what to get them a gift for, about, I think is like, it's just a recipe for success. A lot of it is like off the cuff stuff. Like I think I could tell you very like generic things, but I think that the better gifts are the ones that come from like in more in the moment, off the cuff space in your relationship. I'm trying to think of like gifts that my friends have given me, because I also feel that I am friends with a lot of good gift givers. And I think that gift giving is like a sweetie thing to do regardless of if it's with a partner or not. One of my friends bought me the book that inspired one of my favorite movies. After hearing me gush about how much I loved it, they went out and picked up the book that it was based off of for me, which I thought was so kind. And that was very sweet, because it's like, oh, they heard me gush about how much I loved this movie, how much it meant to me, what like my reactions to it were, and they really listened and internalized that. And then when they were out, they saw this book and they're like, oh, I've got to get it for Maddie, I know she loved this movie. Like, that makes me feel good, because I'm like, you listened, you internalized something about me, and then when you saw me and were reminded of me out in your daily life, you picked this up for me. That is quite special. I collect magnets on my fridge. A lot of my magnets are from my travels, but a few of them are from friends of mine who were out just shopping, doing their thing, and they saw a magnet and they were like, oh, that's so funny, Maddie would love that. That's nice, because they know that's what I do. I collect magnets. I like having a bunch of shit on my fridge. They bought me more shit to put on my fridge. Ah, I love it. So cute. The list goes on, right? But I think that being a good gift giver does just boil down to being, number one, a good listener, and number two, just taking any idea that you have and going the extra step to make it that much more thoughtful. Just putting your heart into it whenever you can. Like, instead of buying a card, you could paint your own watercolor card and write in it. Not that there's anything wrong with buying a card. I usually buy cards to write in, because it's just so much extra effort. But if you're trying to make it extra special for a partner, I think painting and a little card is, you know, it's just the little things. Goes the extra mile. It's very cute. It's very sweet. Yeah. You got this. Hi, Maddie. Love the podcast. I've been here since the Rejection is Redirection episode. Thank you so much for your work to the girly economy. I'm wondering how to deal with a friend who refuses to communicate. Every time we get into a spat, she ices me out completely and then moves on like nothing happened. I ended up confronting her on this, and it's now been a week since we talked. I miss her, and I hope she knows that, but part of me wonders if this is a deal breaker. As a lover girl, I understand why she approaches situations like this. It's the trauma in it. But it feels like she refuses to acknowledge my hurt. Anyways, a lot of text vomit, but really appreciate this space to vent. Love your content and hope you're taking care of yourself. Yeah, that is tough, because there's not much you can do to force someone to show up and be better. Something that I have talked to my therapist about is how, like, I think sometimes I have a hard time giving people the consequences of their actions. Like, everyone makes their own choices in this life, right? And sometimes people make actively bad choices. Your friend choosing not to communicate with you when you have opened that door for that to happen is one of them. That is a choice that she is actively making. She is choosing to be bad at communication and icing you out completely. a friend that is open to having that confrontation with them, which is big in and of itself. I think sometimes I have a hard time giving people the consequences of their actions because in my head I'm like, oh, but it would so hurt my feelings if that happened to me. Like, it would so hurt my feelings if this friend cut me off, ended their friendship with me. And I have to, you know, take a step back and be like, okay, well, that doesn't happen because you don't act like this. And if I did act like this, that would be a perfectly reasonable consequence to that action. But I don't act like that. So that's why it doesn't happen to me. And I shouldn't feel bad when I have to deliver the consequence of somebody else's action that they have consciously made the choice to make. I so deeply relate to and understand wanting to continuously give people the benefit of the doubt on a loop, to constantly be giving people space to like learn and grow and be better and be like, oh, well, maybe they're just going through it. Maybe it's just a phase. Maybe it's a crazy month, you know, maybe it's this, that, whatever. We want to be generous in our assessment of our friends. I think that is ultimately a good thing and it makes you a good friend. However, there is a line. There's a line where it becomes like mean to yourself to continue allowing someone to treat you in that way. And at some point, you are going to have to decide when enough is enough. And how many times can you have a conflict with this person where it ends in a lack of communication and them icing you out? At what point do you have to sit back and say, you know what? I am bringing so much to this friendship. I'm putting so much of myself into this friendship and they are just not giving me back what I deserve. So the consequence to the action that they have chose to make is that they no longer get access to me and I am no longer their friend. And I don't think that you have to feel bad for making that choice if that is the choice you come to, because this is how they're acting. And sometimes you just have to take people at face value. You need to look at their actions and you need to say, like, if this is who you are right now showing me who you are. You're telling me who you are and I'm going to believe you. So if you are the type of person who, whenever you are faced with conflict, despite me trying my hardest to really navigate through that with you and be a good friend, if your gut instinct there is always to ice me out and run away, like, there is going to come a day where I can't sit around and be cool with that anymore, because I deserve friends that are willing to like sit in it with me, to work through things when there's conflict, not to ghost me and make me feel worse when I'm trying to come to a resolution. Like, your friend is choosing to be uncommunicative. You are allowed to have a reaction to that. And it is fine if your reaction is that this isn't someone you want to be friends with. But I understand your sadness and your frustration there in being like, I really miss her and I want to be in this friendship, but like, you know, when is enough enough? What is the deal breaker? How much can I put up with before I have to step back and say, no more, I'm done dealing with this? But I get it. It sucks and it's not fun, but ultimately, like, we can't make people make different choices. These are the choices your friend is making, and all you can do is look at that, look at what she's showing you, and decide if that is the kind of person that you want to be friends with or not. Decide if that is the kind of person, the kind of friendship that you want to pour more of your time into. But it sucks. Because we always hope that it's like, damn, just be better. Just be fucking better. And I wouldn't have to, you know, deliver this consequence. I don't want to. I don't want to do that. But damn, it reaches a point where it's like, what else can you do? Because we can't just, you know, give people a pass constantly. There has to be a limit to it. And maybe you are getting there. It sucks. I have obviously been there. And I'm just sending you strength in figuring out what is the best path forward for you. But it sucks and it's not nice. And I'm sorry this is happening. The whole Chapel Roan situation has made me think a lot about our perception of celebrities slash influencers and how people feel entitled to their time, space, and energy. I think it's an important conversation, and I'm glad people are having it right now. I wanted to know your thoughts, especially since you are someone who gets recognized. I know you've said in the past that you love meeting lover girls out in the wild, and I guess I feel like I might speak for a lot of us when I say a confirmation that you are still comfortable with us approaching you in public would be appreciated. And if your boundaries ever change on that front, that you would tell us. If I saw you in public, I'd definitely get so excited and want to say hi, but I would be nervous about intruding on your space. I'd love your thoughts and perspective on this. Love you, Maddie. Yeah, I have been so deeply into all of this Chapel Roan stuff. I think she is such a fucking badass. I love that we have a, such a major, like, blossoming superstar, young woman superstar that is setting boundaries and making those boundaries so fucking undeniably clear at the beginning of her career. I think it is badass. It's fucking awesome. And anybody that has any shit to say about Chapel can eat it, because I think that it is so brave and so brilliant how she has been so clear with her boundaries. And I do think that it is needed. I think we need to enter a time of reckoning in how people treat public figures. I think over time, I mean, we've seen this for years, right? But I think it gets worse and worse every year. The longer we descend into social media madness, the longer people have such intimate access to people's lives, the more parasocial people become. And I think that you see it a lot with celebrities like Chapel, who have a lot of like mainstream fame, but they're also very active on social media. They have like a level of fame that is well beyond a social media influencer, but they still have the same kind of access that you would get to an influencer because they are very active on social media. A lot of like major, major celebrities, the Lady Gagas, Beyoncés of the world, they're not like interacting with fans on the internet. They're not like posting online the way a lot of like younger pop stars are. Chapel Roan, Renee Rapp, these people that are like very online and have an online presence. It's much easier to be parasocial to them than it is to be parasocial to the people that are like so huge, such like a massive star, to the point where their reality, their offline life is like such a foreign concept to you. You have no idea what it's like. They just don't, they're not online like that. So I think that honestly, celebrities like in the like Chapel kind of area where you're like a major celebrity and you're very online, I think they probably get it the worst. So I think that Chapel coming out and setting all these boundaries and being the one to be like, hey, this is fucking weird and not cool, I loved it. And I thought that it was like so brave and so necessary and so powerful, particularly coming from someone at her level of fame, her rising level of fame, and being like someone that was very active on social media during her rise as well. Obviously, there are a lot of people that lack boundaries online. There is a lot of parasocial nonsense that's going on. I think that, here's what I'll say. I don't think that parasocial relationships are inherently bad. I think it is really cool that we can find people's content online that we really, really connect to and feel seen by. And you get to, you know, sit here and listen to this podcast. And you know, if you've been around for a while, you have spent a considerable amount of time listening to me talk, hearing about stories about my life, my opinions. It makes total sense that you would feel some type of affinity or attachment or like closeness to me. That makes total sense to me. I don't think that's inherently bad. I feel that way about certain creators that I really love as well. I don't think the feeling of closeness in itself is bad. I do think that some people, if they don't have an awareness of the fact that like, yeah, you might feel close to me, but you don't actually know me. I think the people that lack the like ability to differentiate between like closeness with a stranger that you don't know through the internet and actual closeness, those are the people that have real problems with this. Obviously, there's lines to everything. I do think that most people are able to differentiate that line without any problem whatsoever. But like, you've seen people acting crazy on social media with public figures all the time. Like, people used to go to Jenna Marbles' house, just like get their mom to drive them up to Jenna Marbles' fucking house and be like, hi, can we meet you? Can we say hi to you and Julian? Like, that's crazy. But there's some people out there, some parents that think that that's totally fucking fine. There are some people who their brains don't connect in that way. And there's like some lapse in judgment where they think that is normal. That's obviously fucking not normal. But overall, I would say that that is a small minority of consumers of content online. The parasocial relationship in itself isn't bad. It's the people that have a lack of awareness that that's what it is, and that you don't actually know the person on the other side of the screen. The people that feel entitled to people's like time and attention and constant fulfillment of entertainment. The people that feel entitled to that versus just like comforted by that, an enjoyer of that, a fan of that. These are two different things, right? There's a line, and I think most of us can identify where that line is. Anything that I have experienced is a mere fraction of what people like Chapel Roan have experienced. I have had like massively positive interactions with people that know me through the internet. Majority positive. Are there still some crazy people out there? For sure. Have there been people that have violated my boundaries in the past? Yes. That said, I don't think that most people have to worry about accidentally doing that. I think that the people that do shit like that, that violate boundaries, if you heard what they did, you would be like, oh my God, that is so obviously a like breach of boundary, right? You watch this podcast, you listen to me talk for hours at a time. That doesn't mean that I owe you my phone number so that you can text me about your personal goings ons and that I need to respond and give you detailed advice. That doesn't mean that you get to email my personal email every single day demanding a response from me. Like, most people know not to do shit like that, but you'd be surprised, people still do. So it's like the average person who is just an enjoyer of content online, I don't think you will ever have to be concerned about like becoming parasocial to the degree some of these people are. Because I think you hear about it and you're like, oh, well, that's crazy. I would never do that. I would never email someone incessantly for months at a time demanding they give me personal advice, even though they're a stranger to me. But people do, so. So yeah, if you see me in public, please come say hi. I'm always so excited to meet you guys. I'm flattered, really, when anybody comes up to me and says that they like the show or like my videos, resonate in some way. It is very nice to hear. It makes me feel very happy to know that my content is resonating and that you guys like it. And it's cool to meet you guys in person. So please, if you see me out and about in New York, always come say hi. I'm always happy to meet you guys. Never feel worried about that. But like, you know, don't stalk me or harass me. That seems like a fair line to draw. But yeah, obviously someone like me experiences it on a much more minor level than someone like Chapel Roan. It happens far less frequently to someone like me than it does to someone like Chapel. So obviously with major celebrities, a lot of them actually can't say yes to you if you like come up and ask them to chat for a little bit or a photo or whatever, because it draws attention and then other people are going to want them, or other people that are maybe not even fans are going to be like, oh, but I know who she is. And if she's doing this, that's how swarms happen. That would never happen with someone like me. I'm just a random bitch on the internet. I am itty bitty baby in terms of who is known in the world. So what is cool with someone like me is very different than what a major celebrity is going to be able to give in return. You know, it's so funny that I feel like the whole time I've been recording this episode, the cats have been running around, swatting at each other, trying to gnaw on the fucking cord of my microphone. And now, as I'm wrapping up the episode, they are sleeping. Except for you. Now you're awake because you heard me talking about you. This is Ladle. Ladle.
She weaseled her way out of her shirt today that she was wearing because she had her chest plate on and then it was removed like a week and a half ago. She only needed to wear it for 2 weeks after the surgery, but she took it off today and I was like, well, fucking, fuck it. It's just off now. But now she looks naked to me because I'm so used to seeing her with a shirt on. I'm like, girl, what the hell? You're naked now. So anyways, reminder there that these girls are adoptable. Ladle and Whisk, 4-month-old baby kittens. Sweet as ever. Playful as ever. Just the cutest, nicest girls ever. We have turned them into lover girls and they are ready to go home to their forever homes. So if you're interested in adopting them, now Whisk is here too. I jinxed it by saying they were sleeping. Now they're all awake. If you want to adopt them, you can go to @HeidiRangelsCats on Instagram or TikTok. And there is a link in Heidi's bio that will direct you to the place to fill out a form to potentially adopt these girls. Ladle and Whisk, they're dying for their forever home. I'm keeping them loved up in the process. So please go apply to adopt them if you would like to be their forever parents. What a week we have had. What a journey we have gone on. I need to go stare at the ceiling and watch like 6 movies. So I'm going to do that. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you in next week's episode. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.